Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
All right, I want you to go back and I want you to try saying that with different intonations at every point.
What you mean, like deviate from
yeah,
the way I open
literally
every episode?
I just want to hear it sound different. Say it as if you're in a supermarket and calling for a cleanup on aisle 6.
All right, bing bong. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read. That's this week's episode of Poorly Read. Hello.
Excellent. Oh, God, yeah.
Comedy. I feel like I'm an audition for drama school.
Oh, don't fucking remind me of those auditions. Jesus Christ. Most traumatic experience of my life, I think.
All right, now read it as if you're a dog and you want to go on a walk, but you don't want to get in the boot of the car.
Yeah. Oh, God. What bollocks. Yeah. Anywho.
Well, you don't have to do a song anymore.
That is true. I was wondering, I don't know if I want to carry on the, like, alternate podcast thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, is it necessary?
I don't know. Well, then, I feel like this... We're starting on book 6 today, Half-Blood Prince. And so I feel like this is a good, you know, playground to come up with some other wacky way you can respond to my intros.
Yeah, maybe I should be like, so you're like, hello, this episode of Poorly Read, and then I'm like, I don't know.
You started that with nothing, didn't you?
Everything I was thinking of was incredibly like dire. I was like, yeah, but I'll respond as if I'm a hostage in a bank. I might just say exactly what we are. We haven't done that in a while, have we?
Yeah.
Yeah, the comedy podcast where we go through your favourite book series is and make funny.
And make the funny.
What book are we doing today, Tom?
We're bloody starting on Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah, how do you feel about this book as a whole?
I can't remember, to be honest.
Really?
It's been so long since I've read this book. I remember the key points. And I remember really enjoying it. But I remember, you know, last time I read the book series is...
Yeah.
No, just one series. Yeah. Last time I read the Harry Potter series, I was probably an adult. I was probably like between 18 and 20.
Mm.
But it was a long time ago, and I just remember thinking the books sort of get better and better as they go. But then I wasn't really reading it with much of a critical mindset.
I guess so. I think this was the first book, sadly, that I was there for the whole ramp up to it. And I remember she did a reading at some castle in Scotland at like midnight. I can't remember what chapter she read. It wasn't the first chapter. It was like a random chapter.
The one right towards the end in the astronomy tower. Just like,
and then Dumbledore died. Isn't that lovely? But yeah, so that was nice.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like, it didn't live up to the hype.
No, it did completely. I remember, I reserved a copy at W.H. Smith, which I did for this and the last one. It was pointless because there were like a million books in every shop. So like,
yeah.
But then I remember I was planning to read a chapter a day that summer to make it last. And I ended up reading the whole thing in like a day. I stayed up all night reading it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just very intense, but I liked it. That's what I say after every experience, though. Yeah. It was intense, it broke my heart, it made me cry. But I liked it.
And I love it. I think that's how a lot of people feel about this podcast as well. Right, so where do we start?
I don't know if you know this, Tom, but we can start at the very beginning.
It's a very good place to start.
Oh, by the way, guys, we're not far away now from our merch and Patreon launch, so...
Yeah, we're becoming a real podcast.
Yeah. So, yeah, put your pennies aside and get ready to buy some awesome stuff. The Patreon is
give us all your savings.
Yeah. Use your furlough to buy some mercho. There we go. Yeah. It's funny, but it hurts too.
Again, much like the podcast.
Right, let's begin on this wondrous tale we call adventure. That was terrible. I'm sorry.
What's that from?
That's from this fucking book. That was at the end of chapter 3.
Does it?
It's like, now, Harry, grab my cock and let's pursue that flighty temptress I call adventure. Like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, all right, sir. Quack, 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 quack. And Dumbledore was like, oh, Harry, the adventure's coming. I've got to throw us here.
You ready for the adventure, Harry?
But he's like, oh, adventure!
tell me you want the adventure, Harry.
And the adventure's over. You can go back inside now.
See you in September.
No, I'm not taking you to the Weasleys. I just wanted you to get excited. It makes it all better.
I need the disappointment afterwards, you see.
Adventure without disappointment is like a nook without a cranny, Harry.
All right, then, chapter 1, The Other Minister.
All right, breathe in. Right.
Okay, right, yeah, we can get through this.
We can get through this.
Sincerely unfunny chapter.
I don't know, can we get sued for that?
For what?
We can get through this. Bow, 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 bow.
Bow, no, bow, bow. I think you worry too much about getting sued.
I do. What are they going to take?
Yeah, exactly.
No, not my gumdrop buttons. Sorry.
I know what that's from. That's from Shrek.
Well done, Tom.
Yes. 5 points to whatever. Ravenclaw.
All right. So, yeah, the British Prime Minister... He's waiting for a phone call from some dreadful prime minister from another country.
Yes.
This was written like when George Bush was still president, right?
Was it?
Yeah, and I always got the sense that she was writing that to mean him at the time. That's
political.
Why.
It's all bloody political, isn't it?
Yeah. She fucking loves her politics, didn't she? she does. Right, so yeah, he's so many bad things are happening in the country, Tom, and he's like pondering them, I guess.
Yeah, and the opposition's blaming him for that. There's a big bridge that's snapped right in half, there's been some murders and a freak hurricane, and one of his ministers has been acting very strangely.
Yes, yeah, been pissing in teapots and then having parties with them. Like,
with all his stuffed animals around the table. Oh, you need a top-up, Mr. Bear.
Yes.
Tinkle, tinkle.
Call me Mrs. Nesbitt. and then he's wondering what, like, the grim mood gripping the country is all about, because there's lots of chilly mist in the middle of July.
Yeah, chilly mist.
Yeah, chilly mist.
Spooky.
And they all... But I was wondering, because we know that's because of the Dementors, right? And
yeah.
So, and they do kind of answer it in the book, but if there's Dementors everywhere, are like random muggles just getting their souls sucked out?
Maybe.
Yeah, because I was like, that's a bit bizarre, isn't it? Can you imagine if, like, I don't know, someone's at like the dentist and then their soul just gets sucked.
And the dentist is like, all right, that's it. I'll take this mouthwash, Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith?
He's not responding. Quick, turn off the lights.
If you will that lie there with your mouth open, someone will put something in it.
Put the latex glove on my penis and let's go.
I like it when it looks like it has fingers.
Yeah, and then we hear a from the painting on the wall.
Oh yeah, and it's a familiar cough from a portrait he's heard before.
Yeah. Do we know who the portrait's of?
No. A frog-like little man with a long silver wig.
Beethoven. Yeah, and then the guy's like, Judge Fudge wants to meet.
Yes, and, trousers down, assume the position. The minister's like, oh, not again.
Yes, prepare the bakery. Don't call it the bakery. When it's warm, it's moist, and it's not open on Sundays. What else do I call it?
He's going to put a bun in your oven. That only works with women.
Not when you're a wizard. Oh, God. Yeah, and then we hear, there's the big roar in the fire, and then Fudge appears like a spinning top.
Yes, helicoptering his winkle.
So yeah, Fudge is like, oh, Prime Minister, and he's like, oh, Fudge. And then Fudge is like,
oh, Fudge.
Oh, Fudge. And the two of them have had a fucking awful week, haven't they?
They bloody have. And Fudge is like, surely you know what's going on. And the minister's like,
first of all, don't call me surely. Comedy.
We have a little sort of almost flashback of all the times that Fudge has introduced himself and come to get into contact with the minister. It says the Minister for Magic comes to introduce himself to the current Prime Minister of England when they're appointed. And the Prime Minister's like, well, why hasn't anyone told me? And they're like, well, no one knows, only the Prime Minister themselves. And he's like, well, why haven't any of the previous ministers told me? And I was thinking, well, they blatantly memory charm them.
That's what I would think would be, you know. But Fudge sort of like, he says, well, like, would you believe someone if they told you that? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And he's like, well, will you tell anyone else? And he's like, well, no, I guess not. But then it's like, yeah, on their last night in office, they should memory charm them.
Yeah, I reckon maybe they must memory charm them. It would make so much sense. They memory charm muggles at the blink of an eye.
That's true.
Like, they must do it at the end of the Prime Minister's term. But I reckon it would be foolish to tell them they're going to do that, because then they might take measures to...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe like on Margaret Thatcher's last night in office. He was like, we're going to need reinforcements for this one. I bring a Dementor. She hasn't got a soul to suck. How peculiar. Anyway, that's politics for you. Sorry, yeah. She's dead now.
Yeah.
But she did get Meryl Streep an Oscar, so that's one good thing she did.
Well, I mean, Meryl Streep got Meryl Streep an Oscar.
No. Yeah. Margaret Thatcher. Oh, God. So, yeah, the Prime Minister is like, yeah, I fucking had a fucking bunghole of a week. Like, the bridge and blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, do you know, we didn't actually say what all the occasions. I don't know, is it important?
Well, so there was the first introduction. Then about 3 years ago, he was told about Sirius Black.
Mm. And then about the Goblet of Fire. Not the Goblet of Fire. He was told about
the kerfuffle at the Quidditch World Cup.
Oh, yeah. And he said that we need to brief you because we're bringing in a Sphinx and...
four dragons.
That's it, yeah. We need to tell the Prime Minister. And then when the mass breakout happened...
Last year when the mass breakout happened. And Fudge is looking increasingly flustered and worried throughout all of these, as these encounters go on.
Yeah. And I like the look of a flustered Fudge.
I love a flustered Fudge.
New from the Poorly Read Confectionery Company, Flustered Fudge.
Oh, I like that. What other sweets would we have?
Flustered Fudge. We could have a Serious Black, which is a licorice dildo.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that was already a dildo one.
We could have, I don't know, what other things have we got? Oh, well, we've already got Molly's gravy.
Yeah, Molly's gravy.
Maybe we can make that like a sweet thing, so it tastes sort of like a Coke.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go on. It could be like a syrup you use in a soda stream.
What is it with you and fucking soda stream?
Well, you told me what soda stream is recently.
I know, it's the best thing ever.
So what is it with me and soda stream?
We could have... So a Constance Vigilance could be, do you know, like those cinnamon fireballs that you get?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what a Constance Vigilance
Did anyone actually enjoy those? Or were they just more like a challenge?
I mean, I think if the packaging is nice enough, people will buy it.
You could convince kids to just burn their mouths for however long it takes to eat one of those and convince them they're enjoying it.
If we sell it as a way for parents to discipline their children, is your child misbehaving, give them a Constance Vigilance. Parents like, finally, I was so sick of using that paddle.
A Walnut Weasley.
What the fuck is a Walnut Weasley?
I don't know, I'm just trying to think of alliterative things.
We could have a Lupin Gist. And it's just...
And the Spooky Dementor.
Yeah! What's the Spooky Dementor going to look like?
Like a gingerbread Dementor, but with like the kind of droopy white icing.
Yeah, I want it to be like the kind of icing that... More like a glaze, so it's like constantly like runny.
Yeah.
You know, I want it to be the kind of like treat that when you open it to eat it, you kind of regret taking it out of the wrapper because it's so icky.
Yeah.
And then I want someone to turn around while they're eating one and then their friend to go, oh, what the fuck has happened to you? Because there's just so much gist like everywhere. And the person's like, I regret all of this. Yeah. And that could be your advert.
We can be purveyors of strife and regret.
Yeah, if we create sweets that no one wants. I mean, fucking, it works in the wizarding world. Anyway, yeah, so the Prime Minister's like, look, I've had a fucking stressful week, right? This has happened, this has happened, this has happened. And the Fudge is like, yes, I know. All of that was magic stuff.
Yeah, it's the result of the He Who Must Not Be Named being back.
Yes.
And then, yeah, he just has...
And the Prime Minister's like, back again. And then Fudge is like, Voldy's back. Tell a friend. Yeah, and who, like, so the bridge was the work of Death Eaters.
Yeah.
Bones and Vance were both murdered. And the Prime Minister's like, yeah, the Bones murder, that was an awfully icky murder. And we couldn't figure out how it was done. She was killed in a room that was locked from the inside. And then Fudge is like, yeah, we think that you know who himself did that one because she was a very skilled witch.
Mm.
And that really sort of, I pictured what that scene must have been like, and I was like, can you imagine like Voldemort himself showing up at your house to kill you? How scary that'd be. That's kind of nuts. That's nuts.
That's nuts.
I was imagining Hermione just looking at like Amelia Bones' like shredded body in her room, and with her camera crew, she turns around, she's like, wow, that's nuts. Credits.
The like Looney Tunes, we're close to black with just the pinpoint in the middle. And Hermione leans out through like the hole in the middle of the screen and goes, that's nuts.
That's nuts.
Yeah, and the Dementors are breeding, and that's what's causing all the spooky mist.
Yeah, And he says something like, I don't know, should I make a joke about Dementors breeding?
I was just going to say, I wonder how Dementors breed.
Let's
when
see.
A man and a Dementor and a lady Dementor love each other very much.
maybe
they lay gross scabby eggs.
Yeah, probably. They probably, so the lady Dementor probably sneezes and, like, I guess for better to, like, lack of a better word, she ejaculates all these eggs. And then the male Dementor, he comes along and maybe prizes open his rib cage and then, like, scoops out muck from his chest cavity and spreads that on the eggs. And then he coughs on them. And then baby Dementors come out. Yeah. And the prisoners of Azkaban are looking at that like, holy fuck. If I didn't want to kill myself before, I definitely do now. But a baby Dementor, what would that look like? Sort of like a floating napkin, I guess.
Why are they born with the cloaks? Yeah. Yeah, I wonder where a Dementor gets his cloak from.
Yeah, what do they look like underneath the cloak?
If they're provided by the ministry.
Are they?
I don't know.
Oh. I sort of imagine that their cloaks are sort of like part of them.
Yeah.
So it's more like a floaty membrane.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I think. Do you think there's ever a Dementor that's like, I can't do this anymore, I want to go on the straight and narrow? And he tries to become a normal Dementor and starts wearing like sweaters and like and like corduroy pants.
But they haven't got legs, have they?
He just like straps it to his like ghostly floating torso, I guess.
He's just got his like empty trousers just dangling underneath.
Yeah. Has sort of like cuts his hair, gets like a side part in. Yeah. Becomes like a software engineer.
Yeah, goes to job interviews.
So it says here you worked at Azkaban. What is that? Thank you. Yeah. Well, I don't think you're quite right for this place.
So, oh, my soul's gone.
Why? Do you know what? Why has Fudge come to see him, by the way?
He says because he's here to... So the Prime Minister says it's Fudge's responsibility to sort this as the Minister for Magic. And Fudge says, I'm not the Minister anymore. I've been sacked. I'm here to fill you in about the situation and to introduce you to my successor.
Ah.
Who arrives. Promptly.
Anyway, yeah, so Fudge is like... then the portrait is like Scrimgeour requesting permission to visit or whatever. And the minister's like, yeah, fine, that's fine, that's fine. And then fucking Rufus Scrimgeour appears in the fire, right?
Yes.
Have I skipped a lot?
No, fuck it. I think we've hit the key points of this chapter.
Yeah, we have. Dementors going for job interviews and spooky sweets.
Yes.
Yeah, so Rufus Scrimgeour appears and it's fucking Bill Nighy and he's like, fucking hell, I remember you from Love Actually. I was in that film and he's like, yeah, you do look familiar. Wait, were you in Notting Hill too? He's like, yeah. And Four Weddings. He's like, wow.
What's Julia Roberts like?
You've never seen a woman with a mouth so wide, I tell you that.
I hear she can fit her whole fist in it. Oh, cheap shot to Julia Roberts.
I know. I love Julia Roberts.
Yeah, I mean, she's fine.
What's your favourite Julia Roberts film? Have you seen any Julia Roberts films?
I've seen Notting Hill.
Yes.
Which is good. I can't think of another one.
I mean, is it?
I liked it.
I think I liked it at the time, but now I think the song for it is better than the film.
Which song is it again?
The smile on your face, yeah, yeah. Lets me know that you're here.
Oh yeah, by one of the centaurs.
Yeah. Yeah, and Rufus is like, oh, can you do Rufus Scrimgeour's accent?
Accent? No, not really.
Because in the film, Bill Nighy has a really intensely Scottish accent. I don't think I can even try replicate it.
Oh, I can't remember it.
Because he's like, in these dark times. We must all pull together.
We must all pull together to
It's more intense than that.
In these dark times.
Kind of. Like, as the Minister of Magic, I'm...
That's definitely less intense than what I was doing.
No, it's not.
I just took intense to mean loud and deep.
No, I mean the, like, twanginess of the accent.
Right.
So he's like, because when he's reading out Dumbledore's will, he's like, I, Albus Percival Wolfric Dumbledore, bequeath me...
Have you just, in your head, just deleted the name Brian from it?
Did I? Wow,
just,
I
that's too ridiculous. I'm not saying it.
Brian. Yeah. Yeah, so he's like, oh God, they bring up Kingsley for some reason.
Yeah, he says, we need to discuss your security. We're going to re-figure out the watch, you know, around you, your personal guard. And he's like, I'm not getting rid of Shacklebolt. He's the best guy I've ever had. And the PM's, the Scrimgeour's like, yes, he's a bloody wizard, you idiot.
Yes, he's a blizzard. Like, what? He's like, he's a black man. And he's like, I had a black man, yeah! And he's like, well, of course. Have you not seen him? He was like, I just thought he'd spent too long in Marbella. But you said you love the work he does. And yeah, well, that was before I knew.
Yes, yes, replace him, absolutely.
Yes, find your nearest white person. I don't care if they have a head or not. Oh, God.
That's nuts.
Am I just looking for like a crack in the door?
Yeah.
Turn the camera.
It's like she's drawn by anything horrifically racist. Yeah. Her senses start tingling.
Oh, God. Fucking hell.
And that's pretty much the end of the chapter, I think.
Yeah, like, when they're about to leave, the Prime Minister's like, oh, but for fuck's sake, you guys can do magic. Why can't you just put a stop to all of this?
Yeah.
And then Fudge turns around and he goes, the problem is, the other side can do magic too. And I thought that was that's a good point, actually. I think something that you don't always consider, because you know what I'm always like, oh, why don't they just do this and do this and do this? It's like, well, maybe, yeah, they can do that, but so can the other side. It's not like they've got any kind of advantage.
Yeah.
Alas. Chapter 2, Spinner's End. So we meet a young man, and his name is Harold Spinner, and he likes to put it in everything. There we go.
Loves to get that end away.
So, yeah. Do you know what I like about these two chapters is that none of them involve Harry?
Yeah, there's two chapters before we even get the title character.
Yeah, and I like that.
Mm.
I like seeing things from other people's... from other points of view.
Yeah, me too.
yeah. I'm sorry, I'm having my little one-person party.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I have no idea what you were doing there. I just let you get on with it. Just let me know when you're done.
Oh, God. the story of all my and Tom's interactions. Oh, dear.
So, cut to A Misty River.
Yes.
And to
a great film. Clint Eastwood, you know. I don't even know why I made that. I literally, as I was saying, I thought, there's no way that Tom has seen that.
What, is there a film called Misty River?
Mystic River. It's about a guy whose daughter gets killed and he thinks it's this other guy that did it, and it turns out it wasn't.
Oh, spoilers.
So yeah, we see a misty embankment and two women appear.
Yes, and it's all very spooky.
Yes, and then a fox jumps over the lazy brown dog.
Almost.
What is it? It's the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we've established that the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. And Bella and Narcissa appear and cut both their heads off.
Oh, Tom! They're like, let's see what zoonotic influenza we can spread from this, eh? Quick, breathe in, breathe in. The Dark Lord is searching for a weapon, one that he didn't have before.
Topical.
Yeah. Like an ointment. So yeah, Narcissa and Bellatrix appear, and they're like, Bellatrix is sort of giving Narcissa a hard time about what she's doing. Then Narcissa's like, no, I don't care, I need to go and speak to him. And then they go to this muggle town.
Yes, Bella says she believes the Dark Lord is mistaken in trusting him.
Yeah.
Which is big, because she bums the Dark Lord.
Yeah, she pegs the Dark Lord.
She cannot get enough.
Oh, God. And so they knock on a house.
Yes, on a street called Spinner's End.
Yes. Oh, I thought the entire town was called Spinner's End.
So did I, which is why it jumped out at me that it was a street called Spinner's End.
I quite like the Spinner's End in the film.
Can't remember it. I remember nothing about this film.
It's one of the better ones. This is one I saw in France for the first time.
Yeah. Is this the one because I remember you're seeing it in France anecdote with the word tosser that doesn't get translated.
Yeah.
Is this the one where there's that horrible awkward scene where Harry's in that cafe and the waitress like,
yeah,
is all like, oh, I'll give you my number when do you get off? It's like, yeah, fuck off, that doesn't happen.
A waitress who is far out of Harry's league, by the way.
Yeah. As if, what? Does she just do that to every, like, teenage boy that comes through? I mean, she must do. He hasn't said anything to her.
I reckon he'd been going there often.
Yeah.
So maybe she'd got used to his face, and maybe he was always really sweet to her and gave her, like, a big tip.
There must be some backstory there, because that, let me tell you, doesn't happen.
Maybe he looks like her dead brother and she was like,
I always wanted to go on a date with my brother. He was taken too soon.
You look just like him. I tell you what, if I take you home and I smother you in blood, can you say his last words to me? As you're inside me, of course. And he's like, I mean, yeah, sure.
I mean, I don't have much sexual experience, so as far as I know, that's just how it's done. Fast forward 5 years, he walks into the bedroom with Ginny and starts saying Fred's last words.
Oh my God, Harry, where's your ear?
I wasn't sure which twin you'd want me to go for, so I just thought I'd get both bases covered.
Yeah, but I was going to cut off my ear and then kill myself as well, so I'm both of them, okay? Yeah. He's like, I mean, okay, I guess if it's going to give me the best orgasm I've ever had, then it's okay if it's the last one I ever
It's not the last one ever. Let's not pretend I won't move on.
I was like, no, you promise. She's like, yeah, sure, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, I definitely haven't got Dean's number still. Yeah. So they knock on the door.
Yeah.
They're like, rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat.
This is a thing
and
you've done before.
Snape's like, no, yeah. No. Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, it's Snape's house.
It is. And they're all like, they get in and they're like, are we alone? Snape's like, yes. Well, Wormtail's here, but we don't count vermin, do we?
That's harsh.
Accurate.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, he's like, Wormtail.
Wormtail. Wormtail.
I can't do it today. Hold on.
Wormtail.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think so.
Wormtail.
Oh, fucking hell. Sorry, guys.
Wormtail. Wormtail. Wormtail.
Yeah, does it sound normal to you? It sounds different to me.
Yeah, it sounds.
Okay. Wormtail, can you go and get us some refreshments?
He's like, I am not your slave. And Snape's like...
Been watching Harry Enfield, have we?
No, Wormtail's like, you ain't my mother. And Snape's like,
yes, I am.
Oh, fucking hell. But yeah, Wormtail's like, I ain't your slave. And then Snape's like,
the Dark Lord wanted you to assist me.
And Wormtail's like, yeah, assist, not be your butler. I don't know if he says butler. I wrote that down in quotes and I have no idea if he says it.
Yeah, I don't know. But Snape basically just pulls that I'm a better wizard card than you and tells him to fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's hiding behind like a bookcase.
Yeah, or something. He's being weird. Being super sneaky.
Yeah, and Snape's like, so Bellatrix, what do you want to say?
She lists the reasons she doesn't trust Snape.
Yeah, she's like, you don't wash your hair. You wear trousers that don't go all the way down your ankles. You eat a Jaffa cake by nibbling with the outside first and then licking all the chocolate off and then the sponge bit and then saving the jelly to last. And Snape's like...
That's not a full moon or a half moon.
And then Snape's... Oh, that's it. And then she's like... So she asks him all the questions she's always wanted to ask. She's like, who was your daddy and what does he do? And then he's like, Do you not
think the Dark Lord hasn't asked me all of those questions? And do you not think that had I not given satisfactory answers that he would have taken retribution?
Yeah, exactly.
And then Narcissa's like, look, Snape... Like the thing he's asked of us, blah blah blah. And Miss Snape's like, I
already know of the plan, but had I not, you even bringing it up right now would count as a treason.
Yes.
And Narcissa's like, oh, but you know why he's doing it? It's his punishment for the ministry, like a debacle, and like what Lucius did and stuff. And I don't think I, for some reason, thought they said what the plan was, but they don't.
No, you don't, because I remember reading through the book and not quite knowing.
Yeah, I think they do say it involves Draco.
Yeah, she says what he's asked Draco to do is impossible, he'll never do it, he'll die trying.
Yeah, and that's precisely why we think the Dark Lord has given it to him.
Yeah, exactly.
And then our sister's like, won't you help him, Snape? And he's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And then Bellatrix is like, swear it, make the unbreakable vow. And he's like, can we just do a handshake instead? Let's do a pinky swear.
Pinky swear, yeah.
Do we see them perform the unbreakable vow? We do, don't we? Because she says, look, do you promise to do this? Do you promise to do that?
Will you aid Draco as he attempts to carry out the Dark Lord's wishes? Will you keep him safe from harm? And if it looks like Draco should fail, will you perform the task yourself? And he says yes to all of it.
I will...
He's got his fingers crossed behind his back. Oh, good. That should be a clause. If you do that, it like makes the unbreakable vow like null and void.
What if you can keep your fingers crossed behind your back without the other person noticing?
Yeah. Oh, and then it cuts to chapter 3, Will and Won't. What's the won't bit about?
I think, isn't that when Creature appears? It's going, I won't serve the Potter boy, I won't.
Of course, yeah.
So now Harry's... we see the title character.
Yeah!
The titular boy.
Harry's been staring at the dark.
Yeah, because he...
Sorry.
His room's in a state. Newspaper clippings everywhere, sweet wrappers, crusty tissues.
Shit smeared on the walls.
Yep.
Do you know there's this thing that prisoners do where they piss and shit in like a puddle and then they smash a light bulb and mix it in, and when a guard comes they fling that at the guard so that the glass gets into their eyes and cuts their skin, and then the shit and piss, like, getting via the cut. Yeah. There's a word for it as well, and I can't remember, but it's like, sounds a bit like haze or something like that, like they haze them. But yeah, I can't remember what it's called. But yeah.
Wow.
So that's what Harry's been doing. So every time Petunia comes in, he's like, she's like, ah! And he's like, oh, sorry, I thought you was the Dark Lord.
Oh, I've been shitting and pissing in the corner for weeks.
Oh, God. Yeah, there's like bits of the Daily Prophet about everywhere, and we sort of get like a rundown of various like you-know-who related news stories and stuff.
Yeah, them guessing about what's happened. They say no one, the minute that everyone's been very tight-lipped about what actually happened in the Ministry of Magic, but we think it happened in the Department of Mysteries, and we can confirm it was like, we think it was like you-know-who's activity kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And in another clipping, they're interviewing Neville's gran, and she says, my grandson's a friend of Harry Potter. He fought the Death Eaters alongside him. And it's like, well, she's just told them. Like, she, what? What? If they had access to her and she knows that Neville fought Death Eaters alongside Harry, why are they just guessing and saying everyone's being tight-lipped?
That's a good point. That's a very good point, actually, yeah. Maybe they can't. Maybe she's not a reliable source or something.
Yeah, maybe. But fucking hell, when has that stopped, the Daily Prophet?
Or any newspaper? That's very true. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point.
Weird.
Also, why are they interviewing her? How did they even know that Neville was involved?
Yeah, don't know. She seems willing enough to talk about it.
Yeah, maybe Neville was like posting it on Instagram.
Yeah, probably.
It's like, finally, I'm the cool one.
Yes, finally, I've done something.
Yeah.
And in my involvement, it was revealed that I, in fact, could have been the cool one, but I'm not.
And the girl from the coffee shop knocks on his door. Yeah. She's like, hey. You kind of look like my other brother. Oh, God. So there's like a leaflet as well that's warning people how to protect themselves against the Dark Lord.
The Dark Lord.
And there's like bullet points about stuff. It's like, don't leave the house alone. Don't travel after sunset. Agree a security question between you and someone else so you can check that they're not an imposter. If you feel someone is acting weird, shoot them in the head. If the Dark Mark appears over a building,
kill yourself immediately.
Yeah. If the Dark Mark is over a building, take a photo and post it to our Instagram with this hashtag. Yeah. Dark Mark, what a lark. There we go.
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Oh, God, and the scariest one is any sighting of an Inferius needs to be reported.
Sighting of a what?
Inferius.
What's that?
It's a dead body, a reanimated dead body.
Is it? I completely missed that. I don't even know what that is. Yeah, so I mean, it's a zombie, basically, right?
Yeah, that's like one. Oh God, that's one of my biggest fears.
Ugh. Well, I don't think you've got a great deal to worry about.
No, but I always sort of worry about it in the terms of like, sort of like, I've not seen the film, but in terms of like the 28 Days Later kind of vibe,
right?
Like everyone gets a virus and becomes like a rabid person.
Hmm.
So they act like a fast zombie even though they're not dead. That it's like that kind of scenario,
right,
is what frightens me.
Yeah I mean, I don't think there's anyone who looks forward to that day.
It's the kind of thing that literally as soon as the first reports of that happening in England came out, I would literally just leap from my window. I'd be like, I'm done, just to like
you know, break a leg, make it so that when they arrive, God, they get you quickly.
I guess I'd have to jump head first, right? Oh, fucking hell. Can you imagine?
Yeah. I mean, no. Oh, fucking hell. Right.
Yeah.
We've lost the tracks.
We've lost the plot.
The plot's barely started.
I know. So, Dumbledore sent him a letter.
Yeah, Harry's had a letter from Dumbledore saying he'll pick him up at 11 and take him to the Burrow. And Harry doesn't believe it for some reason.
Maybe because Dumbledore has let him down at every point so far.
Well, he hasn't really, has he?
Yeah, of course he has. That time he said he's going to take Harry to the circus and Harry got all dressed up in his knickerbockers and suspenders.
Was waiting on the Dursley's doorstep, yeah, with a balloon and a lollipop.
Yeah, I just think because Dumbledore's never sort of come to, like, retrieve him in person or anything like that. He's never seen, like, had, like...
No, but at the
an
same
interaction with him outside of school.
No, and yeah, I mean, I guess yeah, Dumbledore's maybe not handled every situation brilliantly, but he's never told him he's going to do something and then not done it. Like, I don't. It's weird that he's got a letter from Dumbledore stating explicitly when he's going to be there to pick him up and what he's going to do, and Harry's like, "Oh, I couldn't bring myself to believe it." Like, what?
I reckon it's maybe more of a case of he thinks that at the last minute Dumbledore is going to send him an owl saying, "Sorry, I can't make it."
Yeah.
So maybe he's like, it's not, he doesn't believe it's not going to happen at all, but he's more sort of thinking that he's going to be let down at the last minute. Because Dumbledore's sort of given him reason to not trust him, I guess.
Okay. Well, he does
That's
turn
what
up.
I think. Yeah, he does. Turns up in a ice cream van.
His favourite method of transport.
What's that? So do you know the ice cream van? And it has it either but you know it plays, so usually either plays Green Sleeves or the other one. What is the other one? I know the melody, but I don't know, is it like a thing?
I know the piece of music, I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, it's quite famous, I guess.
Yeah.
I wonder why they use that for ice cream music.
I don't know. Probably just because it's royalty free.
Do you know what they should have done, Tom, is use an air raid siren.
What, we're being bombed, come out and get your ice cream?
Yeah. Because everyone would look out the window and then the sign saying not really got ice cream. The relief that all the kids in 1946 would feel would make them run out into the streets so happy. There we go. Yeah.
All right, cool. Now we've solved the ice cream van problem there. Yeah. So Dumbledore gets out of his ice cream van and goes to knock on the door.
Yes. Rat-a-tat-tat. Rat-a-tat-tat.
Yes.
And Vernon's like, no, no, no. But yeah, Harry like dives down the stairs and Dumbledore comes in.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm sure Harry's probably told you that I'm coming. Has he not? And they're like,
and
no.
Vernon's like, well, he's told us about you coming before, but it always ended rather stickily, if you catch my drift.
Yes, you're not burying anyone in our backyard, you old coot.
What did you call him?
An old coot.
I thought you said an old poof. And I was like, first of all, it's pronounced poof. And secondly, that's really offensive.
Well, if you know, I would be saying it in character as Vernon Dursley. And I think that is something he would say.
So Dumbledore like bats Vernon aside and strips himself down naked and then goes and sits on Petunia's lovely white couch.
Yeah.
And Petunia's like, can you put a towel down first?
It's like, no.
And I had Indian food before I came here. Yeah.
Have you heard the expression touching cloth?
I've heard the expression tipping the velvet. So yeah, they all sit down and Dumbledore's like, I want to have a word with everyone.
Yes, we'll intrude upon your aunt and uncle's hospitality for only a moment. Vernon's like, oh, will you now? And he's like, yes.
And that, like, Vernon says like, I don't mean to be rude. And Dumbledore's like, ah, oh, and yet accidental rudeness occurs so frequently.
Best not say anything at all, my good man.
Yeah. And then he takes out his Swiss Army knife and cuts off Vernon's lips and feeds them to him. He's like, see? Like, Dumbledore's like, whoops, just another case of accidental rudeness. Oh, let's see what I can accidentally rude your wife.
Yeah. See which of her lips I can cut off.
Oh, but Harry's like, wait, hold on. You're not Dumbledore at all. And tries to rip his face off and Dumbledore's like, no, no, it's me. Just since the Dark Lord's been back, I've been sick of pretending, Harry. Oh, God. Now, who wants their face smashed in with a shovel? Hey? Hey?
Yeah. Anyone? Any takers? Daddy?
Come here, you little pig. Let's make some bacon. Right, so they sit down and he conjures fire whiskey or something.
Yeah, he zooms their sofa. They're all sort of standing and he summons their sofa to take out the back of their legs so they sit down. And he's being like super rude, but in the guise of politeness.
Yeah, which, how do I feel about that?
I like it because he makes it very clear, because it's not like, Dumbledore's not being his usual, like, actual polite self. He is being deliberately horrible to them because he says later, like, he scolds them for treating Harry with nothing but like neglect and abuse.
Yeah.
And this is just the lead up to him not giving a shit about them.
Yeah, I guess it's like completely justified, isn't it? And then he's like, okay, so first things first, we need to sort out a matter of business, like Sirius is serious. As you know, Harry, Sirius died not long ago.
Had you forgotten, Harry? Bet you
Let me recreate the scene in a pensive, and he sticks his wand in Harry's head. Takes it out. Like, look, put your face in. Look, Harry, from this angle, you can see the moment where the light leaves his eyes. Let's zoom in and enhance.
Oh, how many times you scream his name, Harry? He's not coming back.
Let's slow it down.
You think he's going to come back out from behind the curtain, don't you? Ah, good times, Harry.
Oh, God. Look, Harry, in this memory, we can see you around the other side of the curtain. Should we have a little peek? Should we? Ah, he's not there, Harry!
Sirius left you everything he owned, including 12 Grimmauld Place.
I wonder what else he got. Like, I guess gold, more fucking gold from Sirius is probably, like, loaded vault.
Yeah, he says, which is not a lot. You've got, it's basically an extra lump of gold in your Gringotts account, the house, Buckbeak, which he comes to later.
He's there, but now we have a problem. One, we don't know if there's a curse on the house, but it can only pass to another pureblood wizard.
Yes.
In that case, it passed to Bellatrix. You know.
You remember what she did, don't you?
Yes. Should we have another look? And then Harry's like, oh, fuck. So how are we going to, like, how would we know?
Yeah, they've abandoned it as the Order headquarters for now until they are sure that Bellatrix isn't just going to turn up on the doorstep any minute. But there's a simple test so that will let us see who was inherited. As part of the house, you have also inherited and summons creature to the living room somehow.
Yeah, crack.
Crack, indeed. And he tells Harry to give him an order, and we'll see if he has to obey.
And Harry's like, okay. Oh, I guess there's only one thing for it.
Dumbledore's like, that's a good lad.
Harry just shucks off his trousers, bends over, says, creature, can you shine my toffee penny? And creature's like, no, I won't.
I won't.
As he puts his face in Harry's crack, and Harry's like, ah, yeah, he's mine, Dumbledore. Quick, give me a rusty trombone. Creature warrant. Dumbledore's like, ah, excellent.
Good.
He does whatever you tell him to.
Yes, I suggest you tell him to go and work in the kitchens at Hogwarts.
Yeah, he says, creature, go and work at Hogwarts. And creature's like, fine, crack.
Yep.
And Harry's like, crack indeed.
Crack indeed. And then,
what? Well, I'm sorry, but crack indeed would be an awesome wizarding name. Oh my god. I think the crack indeed should be a poorly read thing from now on.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to use it for.
All right, crack indeed.
Yeah.
Email us with any ideas. Fill our crack indeed.
Maybe that's our double act.
What crack,
crack
indeed?
Crack N' deed.
Ah, crack indeed.
Yeah.
So which one's which?
I'm crying. Oh, God. Yeah.
Then he brings up Buckbeak and says, I've sent him to stay with Hagrid for now. we can arrange something different if you'd like. And Harry's like, oh, no, that sounds nice.
Harry's like, well, I would like a decent Christmas dinner this year. So, you know, it's like, excellent idea. That will feed an army of 40. I'll tell Hagrid. And Hagrid's like, oh, he's a great man. As he's drowning Buckbeak in the lake. Oh god. But they've called him Witherwings now, and I was like, oh, that's dumb.
Well, is it dumber than Buckbeak?
No, but it's just, well, actually it is, because it's harder to say, I think.
Witherwings. Oh, he's, yeah, all right.
I don't know, maybe I'm speaking from a speech impediment point of view. They should just call him Wings.
Wings. Wings McGee.
Yeah, or BB. What else can we call him? Nearly Headless Griff. There we go.
Yeah, because he nearly got executed that time.
Yeah, I know.
I like it.
I should call him Quill.
Quill?
Yeah, because of his feathers.
I feel like it wants something in front of it.
Quillius Ferniebard. There we go. Quillius Ferniebard McShisterhausen.
Yes, that's a much more sensible name than Buckbeak. So he sends Harry upstairs to get his stuff, and Harry, you know, gets it all together, comes back downstairs, and no one's saying anything, and the atmosphere is thicker than cold custard.
Oh, fuck it, hell.
Yeah, then we have the whole Harry comes of age next year. Wizards come of age at 17, you see.
Yeah, and then he's like, at 17, the magic that protects him here will break when Harry becomes a man. So all I ask is that you let him come back here one more year, one more summer.
Yeah, and he does give them a bit of a scolding for...
I think I really like the way he did it, by the way. Like, when he's like, when I dropped him off here, I asked you to treat Harry like he was one of your own. You did not.
Yes, he has suffered nothing but cruelty and neglect, but thankfully he has not suffered the same mistreatment you have inflicted upon your own son.
And then they all sort of turn to look at their left, and they see Dudley locked in his cage with half his face missing. They're like, oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
Yes.
And then he's like...
Come, Harry.
I don't know what his finishing statements are to them.
You can all go fuck yourselves, but Harry needs to come back here one more time.
We're going to celebrate. Oh, yeah. All right. Don't stop the dancing. I'm sorry, I'm really proud of that one.
Why, just because I said one more time?
Yeah. Oh my god. Wow. Yeah. I just can't imagine in Dumbledore saying it. Yeah.
And then Dumbledore says his adventure thing.
He flings open the door, pulls down his pants, of course.
Of course.
No, he's still naked, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he Ivanesco's his robes.
Yeah. And Dumbledore's like, now, Harry, it's time for us to step out into the night and pursue that flighty temptress we call adventure. And he comes everywhere. He's like, only joking, you're staying here. Shazam.
And Harry didn't know how he was going to explain this mess to the Dursleys when they came out of the living room.
Yes, he couldn't use magic outside of school. Oh, he went and filled up the basin in the sink, threw the water over the patio. Alas, magic Dumbledore spooge doesn't come off, you see.
No.
Oh, can you imagine?
What, spooge that never comes off?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Ugh, my flat would be full.
Fucking hell, we do look like snowmen. All right, that brings us to the end of the chapter.
Yeah, we're off.
to see the wizard? I mean, we kind of are.
Yeah.
The wonderful wizard of Hog brackets warts. because of the sadistic things he does. Anyway, thank you for joining us on our pursuit of that flighty mystery we call adventure. And I'm gonna say that like that all the time now.
And then shazam.
Please check us out on our socials on Instagram and Twitter at PoilyRedPod. Email us your things at PoilyRed@gmail.com. Give us 5 stars and a review on iTunes. Not, I keep on saying iTunes, on the Apple Podcast app. Helps us get seen by more people so we can spread our bile and tyranny.
Yes, and keep an ear out for our upcoming Patreon and merchandise.
Yes, June 5th.
Yes.
Be there or be
square.
June 5th,
1 year anniversary of our podcast launching.
Yeah.
We've got special Patreon-only episodes coming out twice a month. For donors.
Yes.
Are they called donors?
Donors?
Patrons? Patreons?
I think they're just called patrons. I mean, if we want them to give us their kidneys.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's we're not asking for money amounts. We're asking for organs.
Yes, the bigger appendage you send in, the more episodes you get, you see.
We've got a lab set up like Frankenstein.
We're going to make the ultimate fan. Oh, God. So many holds. Right. So, without further ado, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.